accomplishment of a lot of firsts for me. My first time being in a relationship, my first time being married, my first time being in love. Well, hopefully.
Experts hit it. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can do this. I don't want to marry a stranger.
Oh. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. It is the Married at First Sight edition. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. Make some noise. Give it up. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
I felt like I needed to bring some extra fire to this intro.
Yes, bring that. That was a fire.
The episode's not bringing any heat.
I don't hate it. But right now, I just feel like, I don't even feel like Michael and Chloe are married. It's just kind of bouncing around, looking at, oh, post-divorce, and they hang out, and they hang out, and they hang out, and they all hang out, and people who I don't think are friends in real life hang out, and like, I don't think Chloe and Emily are buddy buddies.
That's a really good point, and I don't know if it's watching Chloe and Michael in the context of all these other failed relationships where you go, this isn't a good relationship either. Or if they're just really, they're not acting like a couple. You're not seeing them do anything that romantic or intimate or husband and wife like.
Well, because most of the time is being taken by all these divorces.
Yeah.
I think Chloe really wants to make it work somehow. And I think Michael's on the other end of it because he now sees, oh my gosh, a farm and kids and all these animals and living in the burbs, no Whole Foods around. Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, my clothes. And I think it's getting to him that maybe he does like Chloe, but maybe their lifestyle and their idea of lives together just don't align, which is big.
Yeah, well, it's huge. And it's difficult because on the one hand, I go, man, she's laying a lot on this guy who she barely knows. And what I mean by that is the fostering of the kids, all of the rescues. It's a lot for someone, especially someone who you really haven't built your own relationship or foundation with. But you have to be honest about that. You guys are married, and if that's going to be a big part of your life, you better tell them right off the get.
I agree with that. And I also think that people always say, oh, I want at least 4 kids. Oh, I want at least 3 kids. Or the other extremes, like, I don't have kids at all. But it's like, you just met that person. Things change along the way. Maybe you can't have 5 kids. Maybe you cannot have any and you need to look into other things. Maybe you can have 1 kid and that's going to be good enough. Or you can have 1 kid and you decide like, oh my gosh, I can take more. Like, people have these ideas and it often kind of, it alters the vision of the future.
Yeah.
Because of these things that, just wait for it. It's good to discuss like, oh, I would like to adopt some kids. Cool. Don't say at least 5 like over and over and over. It's like you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, those are all things within her power. You're saying, oh, some people say they want to have 5 kids naturally and they can't even have 1. That's out of their control. Chloe could adopt 20 kids if she wanted. Chloe could adopt 10 horses, 2 dogs. And
I don't think it's that easy to adopt.
I don't know. Never tried it, but I think it's more within your control and power than naturally having kids. So I hear what you're saying about people who are trying to naturally conceive and say, oh, we want to have 4 kids. And sure, maybe that's not reasonable to even, you can say what you want, but to like put it out there time and time again, if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And you're wasting your breath and arguments potentially. I think she really wants this. I think she wants to foster. And I think she wants to have a rescue and
I'm not taking away from her, but all I'm saying is that maybe you can say it that that's ideal, but she makes it sound like, oh, that's the standard. That's what I want.
It is.
Would she settle for fostering 2 or 3 kids? I'm sure she would if you can help them.
Well,
if it's more manageable.
I think the five is the compromise. I think she said she wanted more and she's going to settle for.
Well, I don't think five is a compromise for Michael.
It is if the alternative is 20.
I don't think you can legally foster 20 kids.
I don't know. Call in. It sounds, okay, it sounds like a lot. Can. It sounds like a lot.
But okay, I'll give her the kids. She wants to help. That's super sweet. But all the animals, I mean, goats, really?
Oh, boy. What's wrong with a goat?
Everything.
Oh, I forgot.
I mean, if you want to foster a cow and a sheep and, okay, maybe a goat, right? Sure. She was talking about fostering, like having a sanctuary. That's a whole other, that's a job. That's yeah. not a, that's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, I watched Barn Sanctuary. I'm super into it. But that's, I love all the animals. I love what they do. Could I do it? Oh man, I don't think I could.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot. I'll just be honest. I'll go in and I pet them.
Yeah.
But I'll donate. But like doing that work, like you have to be up for it.
You understand.
And she is. Michael is.
I was going to say, you understand. You're not Chloe. She wants to do this. And that's why I'm glad she's verbalizing that she's this passionate about it. When she goes and sees a house, she's like, this could be the sanctuary. This, if she, I think she really wants to make it happen. And so she better tell her partner that she's dead serious about it so that it gives him a chance to say yes or no.
I get that. But okay. Building a sanctuary, you need money, you need donations, you need people, like you need to build shit.
But Michael's driving a Range Rover, so I feel like that's worth three goats right there.
I think Michael wants to keep driving a Range Rover and living above Whole Foods. That's my whole point. And I think Chloe, the reason why she just wants it and hasn't done it yet because she hasn't found someone she can do it with, right? These are all her dreams.
Yeah.
Now she has Michael, but I don't think Michael is the person that wants to do this.
No, and I think that's his biggest hesitation.
Yeah.
His lifestyle. I think that's what he's talking about when he's talking about the future. I think he's probably attracted to her. I think they have chemistry. They're banging it out. That's all well and good. The future he's concerned about isn't necessarily between him and her. It's between him, the goats, the dogs, the children, the house, the suburbs.
Chloe's on the wrong show.
Farmer wants a wife.
there is just a sanctuary. I guess you eat some of the animals, obviously, but you can also have a little sanctuary with some of the lucky ones.
Sure. Sure. Anyways, all right. Well, we'll talk all about it very shortly. In the meantime, real quick, a little business. We're on Patreon, we're on Supercast. We're talking about The Single Life. That has just rolled into the tell-all.
I am in love with the tell-alls. I'm obsessed.
I can't get Theresa started because I couldn't get her to be quiet.
Is it Monday yet? Ugh, it's just Wednesday.
No, but we're talking about it at length on Patreon and Supercast. If you want to hear our thoughts, patreon.com/MarriedThreeReality, MarriedThreeReality@supercast.com. Also, I don't have to remind you guys, but it's ad-free over there. We do bonuses over there. We did a Love is Blind bonus. If you are on the Family Affair level, there's a monthly bonus where we cover just a random show of our choosing. It's fun. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also, make sure you follow us on Instagram at MarriedThreeReality Pod. That's where you call in. That's when we say, hey, guys, what do you think? We don't know. We can't figure this out. What do you think? Call in there. Message us there. We love to hear from you.
We love to hear from you guys, your opinion, or let's just chat. Or say happy birthday to John. Not anymore. His birthday is over. But you guys, a lot of you have, so thank you.
Thank you. Also, make sure you follow the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hard. It's the activity that I don't know the English word for, but ever making a beer opener.
Yeah, blacksmith or metal forging.
Yeah,
something
I would
like that.
Love to do that. It's hot, no pun intended.
What?
It's hot.
Oh. And
this is my struggle. I can't say this sentence. I always try when I feel all confident and I never can say it.
All right. And last but not least, if you haven't left us a review, please do. It would make our day, make our week, possibly make our month, depending on what you say. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on the Monday podcast for everyone to hear. All right. let's get into it. Before we go all through Michael and Chloe, let's start from the beginning of this episode. It's 2 weeks after Divorce Day. This is Married at First Sight, season 17, episode 22. Okay? 22. We started this 2 years ago? A year ago? When did the season start?
We started this before our family vacation.
Okay.
Which is...
2022? When did this...
In October, early October. That's why we were delayed, because we were like, we just have so much shit going on.
Wow. All right. Episode 22. 2 weeks after
October,
Divorce
November,
Day.
December, January, February, March. It's going to go into April. Yeah. 7 months. Holy shit. It's
literally absurd, Mavs. Literally absurd.
But I'm still enjoying it. Honestly, this is one of my favorite Mavs season when I speak of the new ones. I'm still a sucker for the good old ones when they go out there and find their own apartments and houses based on their income. It's a little more real.
Sure.
But thinking of the recent seasons in the past 3, 4, 5 years, this one's fabulous. And Boston.
I just don't know how you go into next season with a straight face.
I don't think they... I have a feeling this is going to be the last season.
No, they're filming for Austin.
No, they should not.
They should scrap production.
No, they should not. Honestly, I love Mavs. I don't want them to stop filming.
However, I do too, but how do you go in with a straight face and go like, here we go, let's try. We're just rolling the dice here.
I hate to say it, but they need new experts.
No, they just need a new process. The experts don't do shit. Let's be honest. The experts have never
They've
saved...
They've been involved in this season way more than in the past several seasons.
But have they ever actually turned a bad situation into a good one? No.
No, but I feel like they always, like, they play devil's advocate, and I'm not sure if that's the right term, but they are like, oh, okay, he's, like, so into this and that and very religious. She is Jewish, but atheist, doesn't want kids. He wants kids. Perfect match. It's like, what are you doing? Like, they need to look deeper. Like, you need to connect people. And I think religion, political views, how if they want to have kids or not, that's the big thing. That should be the base for the matches. If you can agree on politics and can agree on religion, and whether you do not or you do want to have kids, then okay, let's see what else is there.
Here's the reason that'll never happen. And why this show will actually never work. And I know it's ridiculous for me to say that 17 seasons in, but we know the results. It's less than 25% success rate. Here's why. Because at the end of the day, they're making a TV show. And for it to be good television, there has to be drama. And there's usually not a lot of drama in good marriages. And so those two things just don't go together. You can either create lasting marriages, or you can create a lasting TV show, and they've decided to create a lasting TV show.
You can make positive drama, no?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. It gets old after a while. Seem like, oh, they're happy again. Look at them laughing, giggling.
True, true, true.
You need drama.
I know.
And that's what we're getting, and that's why we're entertained and we're still watching it and talking about it.
But Love is Blind is way more successful.
Yes, because people are choosing themselves. They're putting they're taking ownership over their own relationships, and it's easier to walk away on Mavs going, you put me with the wrong person. On Love is Blind, they put themselves with that person.
True.
All right.
Yeah, Mavs, this is tough. But yeah, Emily's hanging out with Chloe, which I'm like, what's happening here? I know the girls, Emily and Becca and Claire, are tight, but I feel like Chloe came late to the game, but I don't think they all fully click. I don't think they're besties.
No, they're
I think
being they forced to do this.
Yeah. And so they're talking about the marriages and divorces. And Chloe says that she feels like when SDP, the sex DP, visited, she kind of called her inauthentic.
She did. She questioned the authenticity of the marriage.
Yeah. And Chloe has a hard time with it. Here comes Emily, who is a big SDP supporter.
Sure.
Like, she was there for SDP.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably because SDP took Emily's side most of the time, right? There's a camaraderie there.
I don't think that's true. I think out of all the experts, like, SDP can get a little tough. Like, really call people out on their shit.
Totally, but she was calling Brennan out. So I think that's why Emily feels like there's a bond there. But Emily's not wrong. Emily said SDP when she says something, there's a reason she says it. So take it with a grain of salt, Chloe. Don't just dismiss it.
Yeah.
Maybe you do need to look inward and see whether or not you guys are being authentic. And Emily said, oh, maybe she just sees what you guys are going through now could become a bigger issue in the future. And so you better resolve it now before it does get worse. And I think...
Which makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And look at Emily. If nothing else, she's learned and grown and is probably going to take things from this process and use it in the future because she's never been in a relationship before. So what a bad first relationship, but also what a great one to take all the things you learned and then apply it moving forward.
True. Well, for Chloe, this is a hard pill to swallow. She just needs to drink a little more water to like swallow the pill. Am I right? No, is it a good dad joke?
No. No. Pun known intended? What? No, please. Please tell me you didn't write that down.
I did not. Good. Just came up with it on the fly.
That one was off the top.
It's even better.
Good. Claire was self-filming saying she hasn't spoken to Cameron since the group.
And I have a hard time watching this now because of the last week's after party.
Okay.
And full disclosure, guys, we said it multiple times. We do watch after party, but we watch it after we record.
It's called after podcast.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, that's the time frame we have available. So we always watch it. Feel free to chat about it with us. But we don't address what was said on the after party after the episode because we can. However, watched last week's, and now I'm kind of like, okay, is Claire the puppet master behind it all? It's like, what Cameron was saying made sense.
What was he saying? Because I had after party on while I was setting up. I heard 10 minutes of it, and they were addressing this right here, where Cameron was like, look, she texted me, but it was a week after my latest surgery, so I didn't respond, which... I don't know what kind of defense that is necessarily, but what was he saying last week that made you think?
Well, he basically said that Claire was like the master manipulator behind it all, that she wasn't a good friend to Emily. And he said how Emily cheated on Brennan, basically, and how Claire wanted to take Brennan down regardless of Emily's feelings or... Just, he made her sound like she is the master behind it all. And it's like, watching Claire, like, I don't know if she strikes me that way. I think she's very smart. She's a therapist. And I think the girls listen to her advice.
Well, I told you.
But like, what's the advice? Is it good advice?
I told you, the therapists are the sickest of them all. You hear that, Dad?
I'm always watching Alan.
You gotta keep one eye on Alan.
I said it all the time. He thinks he's watching me, but you know what? I'm watching her. I'm watching him watching me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm one step ahead of him.
All right. So basically, Claire's just like, well, I got the assurance that I needed that we're not supposed to be together. He's not supposed to be my husband. And now it's time to focus on Claire.
Yes.
It's become Claire to her.
Ooh, okay.
Pun no intended.
Okay, Dad.
Pun not intended. What?
Now you don't know how to say it?
I'm making fun of you, Teresa.
Oh, okay.
Because I laugh so that I don't cry when you butcher the English language that bad. It's very painful for me.
It's really hard for me. It's harder for me. No, it's not.
It's harder for me, Teresa.
You're not living with it. I mean,
No, I am. That's where you're wrong.
It's almost the same as...
Very much living
when
with
I
it.
Used to say stuffs.
That's
and then I was told it's stuff, and I had a very hard time to learn not to say stuff. So
are we in reruns? Are we in reruns?
No.
We talked about stuffs.
I know, but I'm bringing this back. I finally like find a way to use
no pun intended.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I finally like learn how to use it in conversations.
No, you didn't. Turns out you didn't.
That's the thing. Whenever I try to whip it out, it's a disaster. It's a disaster.
It's really
and I just
bad.
Feel like I need to learn. Like I learned not to say stuffs. I need to learn how to say this correctly.
It's no. Once you get no out, you're good. No pun. You're combining no and pun and you're doing like none pun.
I'm saying non pun.
Right, like
a dumpling I would get at a Chinese restaurant.
It's just no pun.
Oh, No pun intended. Look at me. Look at me.
Oh, boy. Becca, back in her safe space, surrounded by pictures of the people she loves. Still missing Austin, though. Poor, poor Becca needs to get it through her head that this is not going to work.
I feel bad for her because she keeps bringing a lot of the stuff, like blaming herself in a way.
Yeah, because she's two rosy-colored glasses, and I'm glad she's got Mom Donna to talk her through, because Mom could sugarcoat things. Mom could mom and be like, oh, sweetie, it's all going to be okay. But Mom's like, no, this isn't a good relationship. You guys aren't right for each other. You don't align on religion. There's no intimacy. There's no trust. Like, move on. And Becca needs that. Becca needs someone to dump a cold bucket of water on her and wake her up.
I feel like I was also wearing these pink glasses because in my head, I was thinking, there is no way Austin could lie about this whole time. But besides him lying or like how he felt or the producer, there are all these issues that Mom brought up. I was like, I always forget about the fact that there was no intimacy. They didn't bang it out. He did lie to her. They different religion beliefs. He wanted kids. She wasn't sure. There were a lot of issues.
Welcome to season 17, Teresa.
Took me a while.
Yeah.
I know. You guys gave me a lot of shit. I was like...
Good. Thank you. For once, someone took my side.
I was very close to unfriending everyone. I'm kidding. No, I get it. Like, I needed to watch a little more. And I feel bad that Becca blames herself. That, she wishes she was good for Austin. It's like, no, just girl, you move on. You're great. Austin will find someone, but he needs to find someone who's going to be more aligned with what he wants in life.
Becca, and I feel bad for her too. Becca has, I think, little self-confidence, or she's got some self-confidence issues, and she's worried she's not going to find someone else. Here was a guy who she liked, who she was married to, who legally is tied to her, and she said, no, I have to walk away because I don't trust you, which is great. She should have done that. She deserves better than Austin. But she doesn't have the confidence that she's going to be able to find someone else. And so now she's like, I don't know. Should I have walked away? I should have stayed with him. We were legally bonded and I'm nervous. I'm not going to be able to find another guy. So that's why I feel bad. It's because she just needs to look in the mirror and get some confidence. Go like, you know what, girl? You're going to find someone way better who wants to bang you, who supports your religious beliefs, who would rather sleep in your bed than an NFL player's bed.
For sure. Or bring you with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Austin, what a weirdo.
Yeah.
That whole moment with the NFL player's bed. Ugh.
Yeah. So shout out to Mother Donna for serving up the cold hard truth, because Becca needed to hear it, and I'm glad Donna was there to tell her how it is. Because moms could easily give the false hope, not Donna. That's not Mama Donna.
Donna's good.
Yeah. Then we have Lauren and her friend Jade doing a little mani-pedi, having some girl talk.
Yes.
Lauren took this moment to fill Jade in on the archery and the dodgeball archery.
Yes, and I don't understand Orion. Like, what world does he live in?
He lives in the world of,
I feel like we should give it a shot now after all of it. And now she's rejecting you because, of course not, after what you pulled off. And now you feel, like, hurt by it.
He wants to be a victim and a hero in the same story. And so he was the victim in the beginning, and that's why everything fell apart. And now he wants to come in and be the hero of, like, you know what? Maybe I should take you back. Maybe we should be together. I can love you. And she's like, no, that's ridiculous. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't even want to be friends.
Yeah, she's done with him. And at the same time, Orion is fixing Brennan's light and camera and telling him the same thing from his point of view. And he's like, you know, I got this text from Lauren. I thought we were going to get closer again. And she sent me this text about boundaries. I was like, Are you kidding me? Are you truly upset about the fact that she's trying to establish boundaries so she can move on with her life and forget about the 2-week marriage to you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What am I wrong?
Well, again, now it's a power struggle too. So Lauren took power back by saying, let's not be together. I don't even want to be friends, right? Ball was in her court. She made a power move. Now Orion's like, what? She just took the power from me? How do I get the power back? I'll just say, I got to think about some things and I'll get back to you, and then never get back to you. So now he's like, ball's in my court and I'm not going to get back to you. It's just a power move. He's childish and he needs to grow up and move on.
It is a power move, but I also think the reason why he hasn't responded yet is because he just doesn't know what to say.
Well, there's nothing to say. She doesn't want to be friends. Cool, there's nothing left to say.
No, but he thinks there is something to say, that he can say something clever to change her mind, and he just needs to think about it.
I don't think he wants to be with her.
I don't think he wants to be with her either, but I think he wants to be in her. He wants to maybe be friends, or he just doesn't want to be rejected.
He wanted to be the big guy. He wanted to be the hero and come in and say, hey, I'm sorry I put you through that. Let's be friends. And then he would have felt good about himself. And she was like, no. And now he's like, well, wait a minute. You just had the last word. I want the last word. So I'm going to leave you on red and make you think the last word's coming. And then I'll just never deliver it.
Well, he didn't leave her on red. He
basically did.
He basically showed her who he is once again, because that's him. He doesn't come through. He doesn't show up for people. He doesn't reply to text messages when he says he will. That's Orion. And this was one final proof for Lauren that, yep, this is it.
It doesn't matter, though, because it's hot girl summer, baby. It's hot girl summer. That's what Lauren said.
It's spring.
When they were filming this, it was hot girl summer.
Oh, I missed that.
Married at first sight, divorced at first fight.
I love that.
Shout out. Put that on a t-shirt,
Lauren.
Put it
on a t-shirt. Exactly.
Yeah. So then Michael and Austin. Michael loves showing people his boxing skills.
Oh, and he loves showing all the muscles. And there's Austin. He's like, oh, yeah, I haven't really been working out. Maybe I should get in a shape a little bit.
Yeah, he's getting in shape for the producer, probably. Ooh. That's why, right? He had no desire to get in shape while he was with Becca. Now he's trying to get ripped for the producer.
Well, he will need some work, because look at Michael. Michael's ripped.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing, too.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's an athlete. Definitely an athlete. So Michael's like, well, what's going on with you guys? Where do you guys stand now? And Austin says, full breakup. No communication of any kind. He says he wants to make amends. He thinks if they were meeting on different terms, they could have worked through their issues. But I call BS on all that. Like, if you want to make amends, if you want to talk, talk. Right? You don't want to.
Yeah.
But again, just like Orion, you want to seem like a good guy. So you say all this stuff, but you're not saying it to the person. It matters. You're not saying it to the person you should be saying it to. You're saying it to Michael instead of Becca.
True. That's a good point. And honestly, I'm very curious for the reunion, because that's going to be a few months later or a year later. I don't know how long. But I'm curious to see what they're going to say if they ended up talking, if they haven't seen each other for a long time. Like, that's usually when they spill even more tea, when they spill on after party.
Yeah.
And I need to know.
Nothing happened. I can assure you of it. Austin doesn't want anything to happen. If he did want
to. No, but I'm wondering, did he reach out? Did he try? Did she reach out? Because she keeps saying, I miss him. Is it off? That's it. They haven't spoken since the pizza party, right? I'm curious to know.
Maybe. Then speaking of hot girl summer, Emily and Gina are hitting up Maui and Vietnam.
Yeah, I want to go to Vietnam and Maui.
Quite the work perk you got there.
Well, it's on the way. Go to Maui, then go to Vietnam.
I'm just saying, I travel a lot for business. It's never taken me to Maui or Vietnam.
I don't think it's a work trip. I think it's a fun trip.
No, I think it's, she's like an account executive at, I looked it up, Gartner. And I think.
What's that?
It's like a consulting firm. Uh-huh. It's very, it's legit. Mm-hmm. Impressive. So I think she excelled at her job for the year, maybe hit some marks and gets rewarded and goes on these trips with Gina, I think.
No, good for her.
That's my guess. Anyways, good for her for not being married going on this trip.
Yeah, and married to Brennan.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the trip I think you want to go. Be single, be with Gina, have fun, live it. Just don't go ATVing, but go nuts.
This is the pre-heal trip. She's going to heal when she comes back because she wants to do some therapy to work through what happened. But this is the pre-heal trip. I like it. Pre-heal.
Emily, pre-heal. All right. I think this is a good place to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive a little deeper into Michael and Chloe, all right? Because there's a lot to unpack over there. We'll take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor for this episode, and we'll be back in a second.
This episode is sponsored by Jetpack Immune Travel Gummies.
Teresa, travel should be about adventure and relaxation, not sniffles and coughs. That's where Jetpack comes in, an easy, delicious way to boost your immune system. Since getting these into my routine, I've been able to enjoy our travels even more.
But Jetpack isn't your ordinary supplement. It's a special blend that puts health first with a formula that's lower carbs, calories, and sugar than America's number one vitamin brand.
And can we talk elderberry? Because I've been taking elderberry supplements for a long time, but Jetpack packs a powerful 900 milligrams of elderberry into each serving.
Wow.
That's alongside 8 other immune-boosting ingredients like vitamin C, D, zinc, and echinacea, all in one delicious gummy you'll actually look forward to taking.
The taste is amazing. No blend or bitter vitamins here.
Plus, Jetpack supports a healthy stress response with ingredients like quercetin, bromelain, and astragalus, making it your perfect travel companion.
And because we know our listeners love a good deal, Jetpack is offering a special gift, a stylish pair of Jetpack Sunnies with every purchase for a limited time.
So don't wait. Give your immune system the support it deserves and enjoy a stylish bonus. Head over to jetpackimmune.com to get your Jetpack Immune gummies and your free sunglasses.
Boost your health and travel in style with Jetpack. Visit jetpackimmune.com today.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
What's up?
I'm like really hot over here.
Why?
I don't know. I'm getting heated.
Oh.
I forgot to turn the AC down before we started.
What are you talking about? I put a sweater on.
I understand. You understand our bodies regulate
because
temperature differently.
I told you, you need to learn to regulate body temperature.
Why would I want to raise my body temperature?
So you can lower it.
Yeah.
Best thing ever. You really need to focus on it. And I think you can do it. Okay. I think you can really lower your body temperature with your mind.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
At least a couple degrees.
Yeah, you should.
You know what would be easier though?
What?
Just thermostat.
I think we're good.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of apartments and heat.
And that weird tiny lion animal. Is it a cat or is it a dog? I'm serious.
Colin.
I think it's a cat, but I don't think it's shaped as a tiny lion.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I think it's kind of entertaining to look at.
It's cute. It's kind of fun.
I wouldn't say cute. I would say fun.
I think it's somewhat cute.
I think it's fun.
All right.
Well, let's just say it's fun.
So they're at the apartment and Chloe realizes after talking to Emily, I need to communicate more with Michael. And they talk about the conversation they had with SDP and how the authenticity of the marriage was questioned because Michael hadn't shared the marriage with his mom. And Chloe's like, you know what? I agree. I think it's good. I think it's right that you didn't tell your mom.
And Michael's glad she agrees because I think it's good. At this point, why would you scare mom? Wait until D-Day, I guess.
I guess.
From my perspective, if I did something like this and didn't tell my parents, once I told them, they would be so pissed.
That would be way worse.
They would be so mad at me that would be really bad. So I would never do it. But if Michael knows his mom, if Michael thinks this is the best for her, then I think Chloe needs to support it. And the fact that she does, it's good.
I'm happy that Chloe supports it. I'm not happy that Michael didn't tell his mom. Because he told his mom the first time. Mom wasn't thrilled about it. But hey, the Band-Aid's already off. She knows that you're involved in this process. So it's even easier to just be like, hey, so they actually found me a wife who's going to show up at the altar.
Well, here's why I don't think he's telling her. I don't think he's going to say yes.
I know, but he didn't know that before the I do's. He could have said, hey, they found me another wife and we're going to do this.
Or did he?
He didn't. How would he know he's not going to say yes?
I don't know. I'm just being a devil's advocate. But anyhow, they talk about the living situation too, which is that Michael does not necessarily want to live together right after because of their leases and all the animals, right? Chloe doesn't like it. And she wants to make sure they move in together ASAP. And so they find a place for them because of all the animals and the sanctuary and the potential 5 kids.
Where are the animals right now?
In the apartment, I believe.
Problem solved.
Right?
Problem solved. Stay there.
I think he has one dog and she has a dog and a dog, maybe a cat. Someone owns that strange animal.
The fun animal?
The fun animal, yeah. I don't know who.
I think he does.
But no, he has a Maltese dog. That's not that.
I think they have 3 dogs together.
And a cat?
At least one cat.
Is it a cat?
That thing?
Yeah. I think it's a cat. It looks like a little lion. I kind of like it. It's kind of fun.
Now
it makes me feel like I'm in a jungle.
Now you're coming around to it.
Well, I'm saying it's fun.
Yeah. Well, they decide like, hey, let's go look and see what's out there. I'm with them. Don't buy a house. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Don't buy a house if you don't know the person. You don't know if it's going to work out past 2 months. Come on.
Yeah. And that's how they feel. And I agree with that.
Good.
But go look, see what's out there. And then you're getting ahead of yourself. So if you're like, well, we can't move in together because no one's going to accept our fun cat. You don't know that. Go see. And if you go and check out 20 properties and every person says, no, sorry, no fun cats allowed, then you cross that bridge when you get there.
But Michael makes a point to say, well, but let's not compromise. Let's like find what works.
Which
I agree too, but I think where he lives, I picture him downtown Denver in a high-rise building in a fun neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
I don't think these nice apartments necessarily allow you to have 59 pets. That would be maybe the suburbs, rental house or something that's maybe not what he wants. And well, I think that's going to be one of the issues.
It's one of our C's. It's compromise. And you need to enforce compromise in a healthy, happy relationship. And that would be part of the compromise, Michael.
True.
So Claire and sister Chrissy walking their semi-swellers. Sister Chrissy looks like a mashup between Emily and Becca. That was my only takeaway from this
scene.
She's
Claire's twin.
Okay.
I think so.
She looks like Emily and Becca smashed up together.
I wouldn't say Emily. I say maybe a little bit of Becca just because of the pink hair.
Pink hair. And then her face was similar to Emily's, I think.
I don't think so. She looks like Claire.
Obviously. Anyway, we learn Cameron finally responded to the birthday text, but all he said was thanks.
I think at that point, that relationship is ruined. So
it's better than just like liking it. He could have just liked the message.
True. So. Maybe he should have. Oh, you know what?
Thumbs up emoji.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's a parent thing.
My mom learned it so much.
Yeah, probably from my mom. It's okay. I've learned to love it.
I hate it. I hate it. And I told my mom, she's like, oh, I don't do it. I'm like, you do it all the time. I was like, hey, mom, how is it going? She's like, good. How are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm great. John and I did this and that. And we're planning a trip and I bought a car. I'm just making shit up. And my mom is going to send me a thumbs up. I'm telling her of all these accomplishments. She's like, thumbs up.
Yeah, she's busy. All right.
Is she?
Brennan and Michael going for drinks. Michael wants to pick Brennan's brain about the experiment. I'm like, don't do that? Why would you ask someone who failed the test for the answers?
I can see Brennan and Cameron being friends outside, maybe with Austin too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael's friends with the group. I don't really see him being individual friends with Brennan.
You understand they're not choosing to do this themselves. It's production.
Oh.
You're getting so hung up on this. Like, I don't really see Chloe choosing to walk by the water with Emily. She didn't. Production scheduled that. Time, place, and topics of conversation.
Listen, for me, this is real life.
It's real conversations. They're not scripted.
I hope so.
But they didn't text each other and go like, hey.
Well, they're trying to mix and match it like, okay, Brennan with Michael, then Brennan with Orion, Michael with Austin. It's like,
yeah, because they sold ad space for 27 episodes and they have nothing to air. So they're airing this so that they can please their advertisers.
Look at you. 27?
Oh, I don't know. I just made this. We're 22 and I'm sure there's five more to go.
No.
Easily.
No.
Another two more until Michael's...
Decision day is next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then I'm probably, where are they now? where did they go? Oh, we found them. Here's where they went. And then a reunion.
Yeah. And also...
And then an after the reunion.
And the episode when they bring the old Mavs members to comment on it.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you think they went?
This is never ending.
It's never ending. Anyways.
I love how we always like love it at the beginning.
I still enjoy it.
We love it. And then it hits like episodes 20. We're like, why?
I still enjoy it.
I do too. We're joking, guys.
Enjoy it. Okay. I lost my place. What were we talking about?
Oh,
Brennan and Michael.
At the bar.
Brennan and Michael. Yeah. It's just so clear that Michael's unhappy. And the fact that Michael seems like someone who is very confident in his beliefs and knows what he wants. And if he's questioning it, it's pretty clear to me that he doesn't want it.
Yeah. And I think he is unhappy because he's a very mature guy. Chloe's a very mature woman. She knows what she wants in her life and she voiced it. Michael knows what he wants in his life. I think he's voicing it, but maybe not to Chloe's extent. And now he's realizing that it's not going to work because of what we want in life. He likes Chloe, but liking someone or like being around someone doesn't mean that this is it. And I think it's hitting him.
Well, yeah. And it's a case of, I don't like you enough to deal with an animal sanctuary.
I don't think so. I think it's just, he's almost 40. At that point, you establish your life. I would say, you know, mid-30s, I think a lot of people feel like, I'm established. This is what I'm doing. This is my schedule. This is what I like to do in life. You don't want to really compromise. You can compromise on some things, but compromising on a lifestyle that's not even like, oh, let's live in a nice apartment for 2 years and then we live in a nice house in the suburbs. It's living in a nice apartment in the middle of Denver to living on a farm in a sanctuary, raising all these animals and kids. That's just not what he wants. And I think it's really, he's picturing himself with Chloe and the future and the lifestyle, and it's just not adding up with his vision.
All right. Speaking of, let's go. Let's get to the house. On Wednesdays, we wear mustard. They were both wearing...
I love mustard.
They were both wearing...
She was wearing orange.
You say orange.
That was a very bright orange. You know how I know it? I would not wear it. And I love mustard. I hate orange. It was orange.
All right. I thought it was mustard. I thought the house was cute. Chloe thought it was beautiful. I think it was definitely a little too suburban for Michael.
I didn't love that from the backyard looked very nice, but you were looking at an intersection.
Yeah, it looked okay.
That was like surrounded by a bunch of roads. Yeah. I don't think that's a sanctuary.
No.
Per se.
But I would say, remember this, Michael, it's just a rental. Like, it doesn't have to be the dream home.
$5,000.
It's a lot. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's 500 more than they pay now. So they pay 2,300, no, 4,300 combined.
Yeah.
So they each pay, if you they split it evenly, $21.50.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can see Michael paying more where he lives.
Yeah, I can see Michael paying a little more, Chloe paying a little less. But Michael makes the point of like, I think we should probably save money by moving in. Let's not just combine how much we're each paying.
I mean, that's a thing.
What is?
When I moved in with you when we were dating, I ended up saving money, which was helpful because I was paying for college.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
If you're paying right now, Michael, $2,300, okay, maybe pay $25, but you're hopefully going to save money. You don't need to double the amount you're spending.
What? I think, are you saying they should save money or should not?
They should.
They should. Of course they should.
Yeah. Chloe's like, well, that's fine. No, Chloe's saying it's 48. That's fine. That's basically what we each pay now combined. It's like, yeah, well, you shouldn't just combine your rents.
No.
You should pay one rent together.
Plus, who's going to pay for all the animals, Chloe? And another thing, we're not parents, but we all know that kids are very expensive. Five of them, five of teenagers. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for all that?
Well, you're just fostering, though.
You still have to pay for them.
You do, but it's not like you're putting five kids through college.
No, but you might end up putting some through college.
I don't know if that's how fostering works.
Maybe she wants to adopt, then you will help them.
Yeah,
and I feel like if you build a connection with the kid and they want to go to college, you would help them, no?
Maybe. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
I don't want to imagine fostering a kid and then it's time to go to college. You'd be like, good time, son. Good luck. Good luck in the future. And it's like
Scott's Tots.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was going to be a millionaire by the time these kids got to college. Best I can do is this laptop battery.
So good.
Hey, Mr. Scott, what you going to do? What you gonna do? Make a dreams come true.
Ooh.
What an episode. Anyways, Chloe's like, well, I think we need to figure out what the future looks like because if we're gonna stay married, we gotta agree on some things here moving forward.
Yeah, definitely not the decor because Michael did not like that.
No, it was too suburban.
Yeah.
It's too suburban. So then we had the guys hang and the girls hang.
The guys are making some beer openers.
Yeah, some bottle openers.
Yeah, the girls are at the drag show, and this was Chloe's idea.
It's very silly.
Very silly.
She was in her element. They're talking about how Orion basically left Lauren on red, but Lauren's like, whatever, I'm over it. She's going on dates. She met a guy who's making her feel safe and secure. She doesn't care. Orion who?
Orion who, exactly. And same for Emily. She does not speak to Brennan. She doesn't think she needs to. It's not healthy. She's going on a trip. Brennan who?
Yeah, Brennan who? Guys hanging, talking. Orion's like, yeah, I'm trying to smooth things over and talk to Lauren as much as I can. Huh?
He's like, there's still some conversations that need to happen. What needs to happen? You need to move on, you moron.
Orion, more like O-Lion. He's not trying to talk to her as much as he can. He said two words and then hasn't talked to her in a week.
He told him, like, yes, she sent me this text message and I replied that I'll think about it and I'm still thinking about it. Bro, if you don't reply within 24 hours, don't even try.
Also, just use ChatGPT. Whip up a sweet response in like 2 seconds.
Don't tell this to people. Otherwise, all these guys are going to smooth talking girls into all kinds of things.
Yeah, good. It's probably better than whatever else they're sending. Dick pics and whatnot.
Okay.
I'm trying to help some people out here.
Okay.
Anyways, Austin was like, yeah, there was no salvaging our relationship. That's done. Brennan says, well, I was accused of a lot of things, deleting the diary cam. I just told her, maybe save it on your phone. Don't share it with the world. And she happily did. So I was surprised when she made a big deal out of it. And also the double date joke. That was Cameron who made the joke, not me. So he's trying to wipe his hands clean of any wrongdoing.
I do believe the double date incident that was spinned around because Cameron literally said it. There was no point for him to come clean.
Yeah.
But he says, like, it was me. I said it. And so I do believe that. But I think watching the after party, it does seem like Claire maybe was the one talking behind everyone's backs and kind of tried to make the puppets dance, like in a way that, okay, my relationship isn't working. Well, you girls, all these guys are morons. I'll help you get rid of them. And they kind of listened.
Yeah. And the big elephant in the room that we're not really talking about is the Australian kiss.
Which, yeah,
I don't know if it's different than a French kiss, but apparently the Australian kiss that Emily shared was the reason for Brennan's distance.
Apparently, yeah. But it was said that she did it after he was already distanced.
And that's the question. It all comes down to timeline. If she did this 2 weeks into the marriage, yeah, boom, I can totally understand why Brennan would behave the way he would. And it really makes sense for him to keep it close to the chest and say, I don't want to say, we're not going to go there. Because that's a really shitty thing to do. You cheat on your husband, right? If you made out with someone while you're married, that's a really shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
And Brennan could say, you know what? I know we're not going to work out, but I'm not going to put you on blast and share your infidelity with the world. So I promise that I'm not going to say anything. I could see that. But if she made out with someone 6 weeks into the experiment, mm-hmm, when he's already been a shitty guy, well, then you're not off the hook, Brad. It doesn't excuse why you were being such a shitty guy for so many weeks,
yeah,
prior. So I don't know. This whole thing was a lot of shirts versus the blouses. It felt very guys against girls.
It was guys against the girls. Indeed. That's what this mask is about.
Yeah.
Even the after party, apparently they were pink because on Wednesday we were pink, loving mean girls.
I guess.
That's what Google says.
Oh, you Googled it?
You Googled it.
Well, it just came to me. I didn't Google that. I was watching it. Every time math starts and you guys are after party, we're running around setting this up to record and we're like, well, they're all wearing pink. Why are they wearing pink? And then today I was just like, Wednesday. On Wednesdays, we wear pink. Isn't that a saying from a movie? And then you said, oh, Mean Girls.
It's from Mean Girls, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it is.
Because you can't sit with us if you don't wear pink on Wednesdays.
All right. And then last bit right here, Michael and Chloe back at the apartment after the group hang. Chloe was asleep, but Michael wanted to talk, so he woke her up. He's been thinking a bit. Realizes he needs to share more of his feelings. And then what he said was not what I thought he was going to say, because it started off pretty sweet. And I thought it seemed like, my bad, I've been a little distant recently, I've been closed off, but we're good. That's not what he said. He was like, everything's been great. Living together has been easy. It's actually been fun. It's like we have a fun cat or dog. I'm not sure what it is.
It's a fun animal.
We have a fun animal. Our relationship is fun. You're silly. I'm silly. This is great. But then he's just like, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to stay married. It's like, what?
Yeah. And I love how mature they are, because many other, they would like flip and yell and fight. And Chloe's like, okay, I'm processing. All I want to ask you is to not make your decision until decision day, because I don't want to give up.
Yeah.
I want to keep working on it. And I was like, damn, just so mature.
Very mature.
Too mature for this show.
Very mature. Also, sort of a low move to wake her up out of bed to have this kind of...
If she was half asleep. How is she going to fall asleep now, Michael?
Well,
not
even that, but just like she's disoriented to begin with. She was asleep. She doesn't have her wits about her. Then you drop this bomb on her. Of course, her reaction's going to be like a little bit like, what? Sure. Can we talk about it in the morning? Not even like, yeah, she has no idea what's going on.
Maybe that was the move.
That's what I'm saying. I think that was a calculated move on
Michael's
part.
Or he was drinking a little bit and he felt like he needs to get it off his chest.
A little bit of that too, I think. But there we go.
That's it.
Woo.
Oof.
Episode 22.
59.
Episode 22. We'll see what happens next week. In the meantime, if you guys want to hear our thoughts on the Single Life tell-all, because that is action-packed.
Oh, yeah.
Off the rails. That train never even had rails.
I love it. I love Mondays because of that.
On Mondays, we watch The Single Life.
And we love it.
Wild. You can hear our coverage of that on Patreon or Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Of course, no ads over there. We throw bonuses out once in a while. On The Family Affair, we throw out bonuses monthly. It's a good time. On Patreon, there's a secret chat room, which is fun. So check it out if you guys want more. Also on Instagram at MarriedToRealityPod. Check us out over there. Message us there. Call in.
Call in, guys.
Make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's hot. It's the vacation Emily's about to go on. Because can we go too?
Like a volcano. It's so hot.
Ooh.
Also, thank you to our sponsor, Jetpack. If you guys are looking to boost your immune system, how does 900 milligrams of elderberry sound?
Exactly. It sounds great.
Sounds great. Tastes amazing.
Yes. So, and you can get free sunnies.
Get free sunglasses if you order on jetpackimmune.com. Or if you guys want, you guys can order on Amazon.
Yeah. It's on Amazon too.
It's on Amazon too, but you won't get the free sunnies.
Yes.
And they're pretty cool. We got a pair. So check it out. Jetpack, thank you. And last but not least, if you haven't left the review, please do. You guys know we love love. There hasn't been a lot of love this season. But we love love.
And we love love.
If you leave a 5-star review, not only would we love it, but we would read it on the Monday podcast.
Correct.
There we go. Just don't put no pun intended, because then I'll make Teresa read it and we'll be there for about an hour.
Non pun intended.
Nope. Teresa, I've said it all and almost said it all correctly.
I'll you practice.
Have said a lot.
And I'll practice. I've said it all.
Said a lot incorrectly. So I think we've both said it all.
Oh, no. No pun intended.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.